we'll be able to determine here that sometimes good is the enemy of best. Good holds you back from achieving or reaching the best. So we've got to be able to prioritize. And that prioritizing is something that is a choice. Hebrews 6 and 10 is the focus verse. And notice it talks about a labor of love. A labor of love. 1 Thessalonians 1 and 3 also uses that phrase, a labor of love. But I like the fact that God's not going to forget. He's not going to forget what you do. He's not going to forget your work. Not going to forget your effort concerning His kingdom. And He will have the reward. The focus thought talks about balance. Balance. If you've ever had vertigo problems, you know how critical balance is. I can remember Sister Glover having a vertigo problem, and even lying in bed at night, it would be a problem, just awful. And so this balance use, however, has to do again with choices, and that's something very important. That which is needed and that which is best. There's a phrase that helps us with making choices, and that phrase is the tyranny of the urgent. That's how some people operate, is the tyranny of the urgent. There's no priority, there's no planning, it's just emergency after emergency after emergency, and they're reacting instead of being proactive. There are lots of things we react to, things that we don't have any control over. And so a reaction is going to be just a natural consequence. However, when there is an area that you can exercise control, that you have the ability to strike a balance or to prioritize and make choices, then obviously the Lord is interested in making sure you're able to operate in that realm. In your scripture lesson, verse 42 from Luke 10, and this being the story of Mary and Martha, the Lord commends her choice, Mary's choice, pointing out one thing is needful, one thing. And Mary made that choice. And the powerful part of it is it's not going to be taken from her. Amen. There are lots of things that wear out, that get broken, are no longer useful, and we have to discard them in our home, in our vehicle, our clothing, whatever it might be. There are some things that just wear out. In the spiritual realm, here the Lord is commending Mary because she made a choice that would result in what was needful and what was not going to be taken in terms of wearing out or being broken or becoming irrelevant or obsolete. And that is her relationship with the Lord. And thank God that's the opportunity we have as well to make those choices. People choose to be frugal. People choose to be extravagant. And sometimes either one is correct. You just have to know the right circumstance. Sometimes people scrimp, and other times they splurge. And again, if you do one all the time, if your lifestyle is totally based on scrimping, and you know, being frugal, you'll have a good savings account, but that might be at the price of, you know, some other things, family and children and so on. On the other hand, if things are always extravagant, and there's always a splurge tendency, you're not going to have anything for a rainy day, so to speak. So the aspect of balance is so important to be able to follow through on what we desire to do for the Lord, and choosing choosing the best part of what He has in store for us. Now we know Mary and Martha. Sisters, and they entertained the Lord and His disciples, their brother Lazarus, as a part of their household, and they invite them in, and Martha is busy in the kitchen, Mary is listening to the Lord. And that's where the, well, I guess we can call it a conflict. That's where the conflict began. Because of the two choices that they made. And that's what our lesson is going to be about today. Now, Jesus said, and the context of Matthew 6, He's talking about the lilies, talking about the birds, talking about how there is care and provision for them. And they don't weave, they don't plant, they don't do a whole bunch of things that mankind is accustomed to doing, working. And then He brings the point, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now, this is where balance becomes important. Does that mean that we're to ignore any of the family responsibilities, any of the employment responsibilities and so on, and just constantly be in prayer, be in the Word of God, be in the house of the Lord, and so on. And God's just going to automatically float things in through the window, and there'll be food on the table, there'll be clothing for your family, and so on. That's not what He was saying. It's the balance, again, and the priority that is so important. And the work to live and is different than live to work. They're two different things. And work to live is pleasing to the Lord, but living to work, in terms of, you know, being a workaholic, we call it, and so on, where family is sacrificed, children are ignored. The job is everything. That's not the balance that the Lord is looking for. So the necessity of being able to walk through life with those aspects in mind and being able to follow through. Martha, busy in the kitchen. Now, the kitchen was important. They were hungry. Food needed to be provided. They didn't have a restaurant to order from. Martha, up to her elbows in flour and all of the necessities of cooking. Mary, on the other hand, sitting at the feet of Jesus. And that's where opinions started to be made known. Now, we can pretty much surmise it wouldn't have made that much difference for the meal to be delayed 30 minutes, would it? They could have waited a little bit longer. Martha could have taken some time to let the Lord know that He was a priority, that she wanted to spend time with Him as well, and so on. But we see how it plays out here. And Mary then became the object of criticism. It's easy to get a Martha spirit when you're really busy on things and you're wondering what everybody else is doing. Well, be careful, because everybody has gifts. Everybody has priorities and the things that are physical sometimes can wait because that which is spiritual needs to take precedence and overcome. Now, at the same time that we're talking about balance, we know there's an overlap of physical and spiritual. They're not two separate entities that you flip a switch and say, oh, now I'm going spiritual. And now time to shut spiritual off and become physical oriented, I'm talking about. They overlap. They're together. If your car breaks down on the way to church, there's a definite overlap of physical and the spiritual. If you're in a car accident, thank the Lord, Sister Linda, not injured in that car accident. There's an overlap there because you're able to thank the Lord and praise His name and so on for His safety and thankful that He protected. Praise God. So that, but because there's an overlap, there needs to be, again, that balance. Very important to be able to exercise that balance. Spirituality doesn't eclipse or block out the physical. When Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God, He wasn't absolving responsibility. He wasn't saying, don't work, don't try to provide, and so on. He was simply pointing out there needs to be a priority. But the spiritual can enhance the physical. Remember when you received the Holy Ghost? There was your perspective was different. Your view of the world was different. You had the joy of the Lord in your heart, and your study of the Word of God was different. Because there were things that were enlightened to you that perhaps your natural mind didn't comprehend to begin with. And now you've got the author in your heart and mind, and He helps you to understand His Word. Praise God. So that necessity is there to understand the spiritual. Jesus fasted. Jesus also feasted. There wasn't the exclusion of one or the other. And there were times that He slept. He slept in the boat. And we have that cute little saying of how the Lord slept in a boat. Peter slept in prison. Daniel slept in the lion's den. It's okay for you to take a nap. But He also stayed up all night praying. And he didn't do that all the time, but there were times that He did. And then there were times that He was asleep in the boat, and they had to wake Him up. And he must have been pretty exhausted. And because sleeping in a storm, I don't think I've ever slept in a storm. I've been awake at the wheel and wondering, oh, God. Help us here. Help us, Lord. Now, the importance of the spiritual is emphasized again and again. Look at Ephesians 3:16. Here's Paul. Paul in his prayer for the Ephesians, which would naturally be a prayer for all of his converts. Remember Samuel and how powerful his prayers would be and how he committed to having that prayer life. God forbid that I should cease to pray for you. He had that commitment of prayer. Paul operated in that realm as well. And he prayed that they would be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. And thank God that kind of strength is made available through the Spirit, in the Spirit. So we emphasize the aspect of the Spirit in our lives. We don't neglect it. And physical might is also important for jobs, skills, and ability, and brain power and so on. All of that is important, but that wasn't what Paul was praying for. He was praying for strength in the inner man. And thank God that that kind of strength is available as we reach to the Lord and recognize, okay, the spiritual is what's going to last forever. True riches, treasures in heaven, all of those teachings that the Lord gave helped to understand, all right, there are things that I've got to emphasize, things that I've got to make sure I'm following through on. John also had concern for the people that he pastored. The third letter, just before Revelation, 3 John verse 2, he compared spiritual prosperity, your soul prosperity, being commensurate to how you prosper and be in health, or the other way around, how your physical health and prosperity would be commensurate to your spiritual health. And for some, if there was a direct connection, here's your spiritual health, and it's going to affect your physical health, or it's going to be in the same measure, the same quantity, the same amount, there would be some who would be quite sickly in terms of their physical appearance because they're not paying attention to their soul health, to their spiritual health. And then on the other hand, there are some who battle a sickness, battle problems and difficulties, and they seem very frail and not in health, but because of their prayer life, because of their focus on spiritual things, oh my, their spiritual health would make them giants. So the recognition here of what the Word of God is emphasizing for us is something that we have to take care of and recognize, okay, there's spiritual things, there's physical things. I've got to make sure I'm following through on all of them. The consistency of the choices. It's human to operate on highs and lows. We're on a spiritual high. We're excited. We're thrilled. We've seen the power of God in this month, the many services that we've had. And wow, it's incredible. And then after a time, we're because of circumstances, because of whatever, there's a low. The consistency is what the Lord would have us to aim for and to be in the place where our decisions and our situations are not an up and down, up and down, up and down situation, but a situation where we're serving the Lord, amen, and putting Him first. A teacher did an experiment. She put a marshmallow on every desk, and then she said, if at the end of the hour your marshmallow is still there, you get a second one. You'll get two. And let the hour go by. Only one person got a second one. It's real hard, especially for a child, really hard to be able to think ahead of, okay, it's going to be worth it, it's going to be worth it, and looking at that marshmallow, looking at that treat, whatever it might be. If I hold off here, I'll double what I'm going to receive in the treat. We are so tuned into the now, instant gratification, and the idea of, okay, I can't wait. I can't see how it's going to turn out and be able to hold off and enjoy the benefit of what we receive now. And good is the enemy. That's kind of a strong word. Good is the enemy of best. So often people will just be satisfied with the good and not hold out for the best. And that little experiment that the teacher did with her class illustrates that. That it would be best if you hold off because you'll get twice as many. But the majority of the class chose to satisfy their appetite in the moment instead of looking ahead. And it wasn't that far ahead, but they looked at the now. Judas, another portion of your scripture lesson talks about Mary anointing Jesus' feet. That's interesting. Here she is choosing to sit at the feet of Jesus, and then she also is anointing his feet with expensive ointment, a perfume that cost a lot of money. And in John chapter 12, it was a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly. She anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with that fragrance. Everybody, if they didn't see what she was doing, they could smell the results of it. And Judas Iscariot, the one who would ultimately betray the Lord, he expressed his opinion. Why wasn't this ointment sold and the proceeds given to the poor? Well, that's a good thought. That's a good idea. But the Lord defended the actions of Mary again and pointed out what she did was extravagant worship. And interesting, by the way, that there can be that comparison in the realm of worship, too. That there can be the being frugal and being extravagant, even in worship. And splurging and scrimping, even in worship. Which do you think the Lord would be pleased with? Oh, just going all out in our worship and our praise to the Lord. That's what Mary did in this hour. And the perfume was costly. It could have been given to maybe several families because it represented about a year's wage. Well, back in those days, it wasn't very much anyway. But the point is, it could have been given. But it was given. It was given to the Lord. And the Lord pointed that out. Brother Mike.
I think it's worth noting there in John 12 that verse 2, not saying it's bad, but it does say Martha served the table there. That's what she was in the serving process.
Okay, and she is again involved in the cooking. Now, is it safe to say that was her gift? Mm-hmm. That's her talent? She doesn't mind working in the kitchen? She's gifted at working in the kitchen. And everybody appreciates what she does. Because, like Brother Mike's pointing out here, this is the second time that he's in Bethany, and Lazarus has been raised from the dead, and they're all sitting there together in the house. They made a supper, and Martha served. That's her gift. That's what she's able to do. And everybody is blessed by it. Everybody benefits. That's not a condemnation of her and her priorities. But notice also that Mary steps forward with extravagant worship and is not in the least perturbed at the cost and at what she's doing, anointing the feet of Jesus and wiping with her hair. And because it was worship to her, it was serving the Lord. The feet that traveled so many miles and so many homes and so many crippled people who couldn't walk, now walking beside the Lord. So many blind that couldn't see where they were going, now able to see. All of the miracles that they had heard about, and the miracle of her brother being raised from the dead. Oh, she wanted to worship. Praise God, and that's a good priority. And that's a main priority, to be able to follow through on that way, and to know that the blessing of the Lord would be there in a tremendous way. Working for the Lord, serving others, those are all wonderful things, but it doesn't substitute for a close relationship with the Lord. A close relationship with the Lord is definitely a priority that we have to maintain in view of all the things that are physical and all the things that are spiritual. Any opportunity that's there, let it enhance that relationship that we have with God and be able to move into that realm. Amen. We feel the presence of the Lord in our homes. We have times of prayer, and you're reading through the Bible in a year, and all of those aspects of focus on spiritual things. What if, let's play the what if game here for a moment. What if the physical presence of the Lord came into your home? You saw him walk in. We feel him. We have his word. We have his spirit. We know that he is in our homes, in our hearts. But what if there was a physical representation of the Lord? He comes in and he sits down at your home. What's your response? What's your initial reaction? How do you work with that? You know, it's just astonishing to consider. And praise God, someday we're going to be in his house. Amen. And the Lord said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. So he said, I'm not leading you on. I'm not feeding you a line. I'm not giving you a fable. This is really the way it is. And I go to prepare a place for you. And where I am, there you may be also. Praise God. We're going to be in his house, and it's going to be all about worship, all about praise, and all about thanksgiving to him. Praise God. But if he did step into your house, amen. It's just an amazing thing to consider, Sister Phoebe. The manifestation would be overwhelming. It would be incredible, and thank God he is mindful of us. He's able to minister in situations that, well, there are probably times that we don't even recognize how he ministers. But oh my, to have that focus that I'm going to put the Lord first. I'm going to walk with him and be strengthened in him again and again. So work and worship. Work and worship. I can remember at Bible school, some of the young men, that you know, they work full-time jobs. My goodness. Bible school classes started at 7:15, got out about 12:15, 12:30, something like that. And the guys got busy with the time they had, and then went to work at 3 o'clock and got off at 11. What shift is that? Is that swing? So, and then they're back home in the dorm and got their little light on in their room and studying. And did that week after week. I don't know how in the world they were able to. But they had to. They didn't have the resources to be able to pay their school bill without working full time. Work and worship. I remember one of them saying he just felt the presence of God so wonderful. He worked for Napa, and he was, I don't know if he was doing inventory. Anyway, he was back among the shelves all by himself back there and doing things with boxes and so on. He felt the presence of God, tears starting to flow down his cheeks, and he's worshiping God, and the supervisor comes down the aisle. And he's having to, you know, just wipe his eyes real quick and stop the sniffles and talk to his boss. But the presence of God that came many, many times to all of us, praise God, in work situations or wherever, thank God that there can be that combination of our work and our worship, doing what God wants us to do, and praising the Lord and lifting him up. Amen. Mary's relationship that she prized, that she chose, and Martha's service. You can't really put one above the other, because they both served the will of God. They both were able to be used of God. You look at John 11. John 11 has the story of Lazarus coming forth. But look at verse 45. That's not in your scripture lesson. It's just to point out something here about the work that these women did. Verse 45. It'll come up on the screen here in a minute. John 11. It talks about how Mary brought others to the Lord, and how that she just had that relationship. She had that connection. She wanted others to know about how great he is. Many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. They came to Mary. Mary brought them to the Lord. Okay, so a spiritual work that is very powerful. Now, drop down to verse 27. Verse 27, here is a word about Martha. Martha, with all of her serving, all of her cooking, all of her efforts in the kitchen, many of the Jews, oops, that's 45. Let's go to 27. There we go. Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God. Who said that before? Peter had made that admission before. Peter had made that declaration. So Martha is making the very same strong statement about who the Lord is. And she wasn't spiritually bereft. She wasn't, you know, at a minus quality in terms of spirituality. She just was exercising her gift. And her gift for orderliness, for cooking, for bringing people together at the table and so on, she recognized how powerful the Lord was as well. I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. So, thank the Lord for the work that these sisters did, and the recognition that they had of the power of God. And it's no wonder that they were then able to see a resurrection of their brother, Lazarus. And what a tight-knit family they were. Their parents apparently had passed on, and these siblings had not married. They were brother and sisters together. And when Lazarus became ill, they both felt it. When he died, oh, goodness, what a loss. And they both said, when the Lord came to them, they both said, Lord, if you had been here, our brother wouldn't have died. They had that kind of faith. They had that kind of recognition. The problem was they were putting it in the past, when Jesus is here now and able to do a work. Brother Mike? So Martha being corrected, I don't know if we could use the word reprimand. Martha, Martha, thou art careful about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part. I don't know if that's a reprimand. I don't know. I think he's pointing out to her priority. But it's interesting that John would write it that way and identify Martha and then her sister. As though to say, you know, they're both very important, and Jesus loved them. And it's very possible they were his age, late 20s, early 30s, and the Lord related to them in that way. Which, by the way, points out a very powerful truth concerning the resurrections that Jesus performed. A 12-year-old, a young man from the village of Nain, and then Lazarus, who is really not that old if he's 30. My goodness, the older I get, the younger 30 seems. The Lord resurrected the youth, the young. The message is, you don't have to mess around with things in the world to try to find life. You don't have to experiment with junk, you know, with drugs and all of that kind of stuff to find life. Jesus has abundant life, and that's what he's able to give. That's what he's able to provide. Praise God. And I'm thankful the message is very strong. So Lazarus, raised from the dead. Praise God. And the sisters being so full of rejoicing because of what the Lord did and how he manifested his power to them. Amen. Matthew 11 and 28. There, in that passage, the Lord promises rest. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Then he goes on to say, you can find rest. I'll give you rest, and you can find rest for your souls. That indicates a desire on our part that needs to be in operation to both receive what the Lord would give in terms of rest and spiritual rest, physical rest, and then how we can pursue and find the rest that God has for us. Not be lackadaisical about it. Not be, oh, well, ho-hum. But recognize, this is what the Lord said you can find. Start looking for it. Start searching. Amen. And don't be apathetic, indifferent. Just, oh, well. No, the Lord says you can find that rest and the blessing that he would put in store for you. Praise God. And it's not going to be taken away. That's the part I want to emphasize here right now. It will not be taken away. There are things that are removed. You know, our health, for example. Our health is in a state of change the older we get. And there are afflictions that come our way. That's just part of life. We just recognize that's it. And life is definitely not fair. But there are blessings that the Lord gives to endure, to prioritize again of his purpose and his will. And that's what we focus on. And praise God, it's not going to be taken away. The true riches, the treasures in heaven. Treasures here, the Lord used the idea of moths can corrupt fine clothing. Rust can ruin machinery and so on. Thieves can break in and steal. And my goodness, that's happening more and more, isn't it? You got to lock your vehicles anymore. You don't dare leave the keys anywhere. It just... Common sense, things are changing. And we've got to make sure our security is there for our protection and for our families. But we know those things can change. However, treasures in heaven, praise God. are not going to be taken away. So we thank God that there is a blessing in the Lord. Now, division, not of the Lord. Distinction in terms of your gifting, your abilities, your focus. That's a good thing. Amen. There are people that can sit down at a sewing machine and work wonders. I don't even know how to turn one on. And like Martha, there are people who can get in the kitchen and work wonders. I have to call you and ask, how do you boil an egg? Well, not quite that bad, but you get the point. Mechanics, carpenters, drywallers, you know, any number of things. There are distinctive gifts, and we use them for the glory of God. And thank the Lord that that kind of power is what can be put in place for the blessings that he puts in store. Amen. Romans 12, again, we talk about 1 Corinthians 12 being the gifts, the nine gifts of the Spirit. Romans 12 talks about gifts as well. And it's a situation needs to be in place in the church. We'll look at just one verse, 12:10. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. In honor, preferring one another. That's a gifting that we want to demonstrate, and praise God, we share that together, and the world can recognize that. Okay, very quickly here, one last verse of Scripture. 1 Timothy 4 and 8. Bodily exercise profits a little. There is some profit in that. There is some benefit. But godliness has great gain. Godliness is something that's going to determine your eternal destiny and the life of that which is to come. It has benefit and profit now, but certainly because of the priority that the Lord wants us to have, it has benefit for the life that is to come. Praise God. Profitable unto all things. There's that need for a balance and to make the choices for godliness. That's just a very practical thing. Choose. Make choices. Be consistent. Follow through. And use your gifts for the things of God. Amen. And sitting at his feet, a type of being teachable, absorbing his power and his presence, all of the spiritual benefits that are included there, thank God, we're able to follow through on that. Remember the man from Gadara who had a legion of devils, and he runs to worship the Lord. The Lord delivers him. And the evidence of that deliverance, he was clothed. He was in his right mind, sitting at the feet of Jesus. Praise God. Modesty took the place of tearing his clothes off, and sitting at the feet of Jesus took the place of running screaming through the cemetery, and then sitting at the feet of Jesus, that peace, that teachable spirit, the teachable attitude, and the priority that he placed on the Lord. What a difference. And how in the world did the town then say, Jesus, we don't want you here? I guess because of the thousands of pigs that they lost. They gained a brother, a friend, a family member, lost the pigs, and that was their priority. Well, God help us have the right priority. Amen. Brother Mike.
Misha texted me and said,
Amen. Amen. Thank the Lord. Praise God. The pain on this surgery was way different, way more than the pain a year ago, January, for her first knee replacement. Just been a torturous thing, but thank God for a good report. Continue to pray for Sister Denny that the Lord would help her. There's, of course, a recovery, physical therapy, all of that. We want the hand of God to be shown. And the Wades, keep them in prayer. Brother Wade's birthday tomorrow. And pray that the Lord would just flood their hearts, their room, with his presence. Amen. Youth Work Day is coming up. We want the young people to be safe and to be bold in getting sponsors to help with their time cleaning up the parks. And I think praying for them in that regard is a good thing. Amen. Other prayer requests, other needs that we want to share, Sister Sharon? All right, we'll pray for Sister Marilyn. God would do a work. My brother is still experiencing a pain in his chest and having to take nitroglycerin from time to time. So obviously something wrong. Pray that things will work out here in terms of the right treatment and what needs to be done for him. Brother Cliff. Amen. Amen. Let's stand together. Praise God. I'm so thankful you're here. So thankful we are able to pray and call upon the Lord. And let's believe him together. Thank you, Lord God. Jesus, we praise you. We worship you. We glorify you. You're worthy of our praise, Lord. And we thank you that we can put you in a priority above everything else, putting you first in our lives, Lord. We glorify your great name. We praise you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. And, oh, God, we ask you to continue to help Sister Denny, her recovery from surgery. Thank you that the pain is under control now. We thank you, Lord, that she's able to return home. I pray, God, that you would keep her, you would bless her, you would help her with physical therapy, that you would make a way, God, for your glory to be displayed again and again in her life. Thank you, Jesus. We praise you and we worship you, Lord. Bless the Wades. Bless Brother Wade, Lord, on his birthday. Bless them, Lord, with your presence, with your power. Touch their bodies. Touch their hearts. Lift up their spirits, God. Give them encouragement, I pray. Do a mighty work, we ask, in your wonderful name, in your great name, Lord. And pray, O Lord Jesus, that you would provide for Sister Marilyn, that you would encourage her now. Let her feel your presence. Let her be blessed by your touch. Oh, God, let your hand be displayed on her behalf, God. Help now with this need. Help, Lord, with her situation. Oh, God, for your glory, Jesus, for your great name. Help my brother Everett, God, move, I pray, in his life. Oh, Lord, that you would help with his physical needs, but especially help with his spiritual needs. In the name of Jesus, do this work, God, we pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. God, for Brother Cliff's boy, I pray that you would touch him. I pray that you would minister to him, God, that you would do the work in his life, Lord, to help him to see you and the power that you have available for him. In the name of Jesus, watch over our youth. Help them, Lord, to obtain sponsors. Give them a boldness. And, oh, God, help them to be a witness, I pray. Bless them and protect them on their work day. Watch over them, Lord God, and provide, I pray, your presence and power. Thank you, Lord God, for your touch today. Thank you for your love. We glorify your great name, Jesus. We praise you and worship you. Glory to God. Glory to God. In the wonderful name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Thank God. So excited you're here. Looking forward to a great worship service at 11 o'clock. Amen. Take some time to just greet folks.